بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our previous lesson, we started talking about the meaning of the second testification of faith, which is, I testify that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. What is included in the second testification of faith is that one must believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is truthful in everything he conveyed from Allah azza wa jal. Whether it is the news about the previous nations, or about the lawful and unlawful matters, or about the signs of the day of judgment, or about the matters that will happen in the hereafter. Everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about is truthful about it. Amongst what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about is al-mizan. Al-mizan is the scale with which the deeds on the day of judgment will be weighed. It was mentioned that the two angels, Jibril and Mikael, will weigh the deeds for people on the day of judgment. It's similar to the scale in principle in this world. It has two pans, and in each pan the deeds will be placed. The good deeds in one pan and the bad deeds in the other pan. Now the believers will have good deeds and bad deeds. So they will have what we call hasanat, the rewards for their good deeds. And they will have the sayyi'at for their bad deeds. If a person dies as a righteous Muslim and he is clear of sins, his good deeds will be placed in one pan, after which he will be admitted into paradise without prior torture. If a person were to be found having the same amount of good deeds and bad deeds, this person will be saved from torture and hellfire. However, it was narrated that those are called Ahlul A'raf. They will wait before entering paradise. They will not be tortured in hellfire, however, they will wait. Others will go before them into paradise, then they will follow them, but they will not be tortured. However, if the bad deeds were to be found heavier than their good deeds, here we say, they are subject to Allah's will. Had Allah willed for them to be tortured for a period of time in hellfire before being admitted into paradise, they will be tortured. Had Allah willed for them to be forgiven, although they deserve to be tortured in hellfire for committing the major sins and dying without repentance, that depends on the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if a person dies as a major sinner, without repentance, we do not say about such a person he will definitely be tortured in hellfire. We do not say also he will definitely be forgiven. We say he is under Allah's will. Allah said in the Quran, ويغفر ما دون ذلك, which is less than blasphemy, لمن يشاء. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به. Allah does not forgive those who die as non-believers. They will not receive any forgiveness from Allah. ويغفر ما دون ذلك, what is less than blasphemy, even from the most enormous sins after blasphemy, like committing fornication and adultery, drinking alcohol, not praying, not fasting, all those major sins. If one dies without repenting from these major sins, but he died as a believer while having the correct belief in Allah and His Messenger, we say about this person, he is under Allah's will. He might be tortured and he might be forgiven. As for the non-believers, they will not have any reward for any good deed they have fulfilled in this life. All what they're going to have is the bad deeds. They will be placed in one pan, after which they will be sent to hellfire. They will not have one single reward. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. All the bad deeds will be thrown like ashes in the air. They will not find one single reward for what they have done amongst the good deeds in this life. In the hadith narrated by Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned by saying, as for the non-believer, Allah will give him as recompense for his good deeds in this life. But when he comes to the day for judgment, he will not see any reward. In this life, if there is a non-believer, but he used to perform good deeds, he used to help the widows, the poor people, the needy people, he used to help them. But he was a non-believer, he did not worship Allah Azza wa Jal. When he dies in that state, he will go to hellfire. In the hereafter, he will not find one single reward in his books. Because it's a condition, a must, for the validity of any good deed for one to be a believer first. So it's like the foundation. Having the correct belief in Allah and His Messenger is the foundation. So you cannot have levels, level 1, 2, 3, 4, without having a proper foundation. As for the believer, when he has the proper foundation, he is a believer, he can build stories. He can pray, fast, perform hajj, help needy people, and so on. He can build for the hereafter. And the taller building he would have in this world, a better reward he will get in the hereafter. But the non-believer has no foundation. So he cannot build stories without foundation. That's why it's a must for the validity of the good deeds for one to be a believer first. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Whoever performs the righteous deeds, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, whether a male or a female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while being a believer, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, those will be admitted into paradise. So you can focus on the word وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. So that's a condition, a must for the validity of the good deeds is for one to be a believer first. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet about her cousin called Abdullah ibn Jud'an. She said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, my cousin Abdullah ibn Jud'an used to help the needy and used to visit his kin, and he used to donate for the poor people in his tribe, and he used to host people from his tribe and other than his tribe as well. So he used to perform all these good deeds. Will that benefit him on the day of judgment?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No." Then he added by saying, "He never said, 'Oh Allah, forgive my sin on the day of judgment.'" Meaning, he was not a believer in the hereafter. And for not being a believer in the hereafter, he wasn't a believer. And for not being a believer, he will not get one single reward for all the deeds he used to do in this life. So the foundation is to have the correct belief in Allah and His Messenger. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about as-sirat, which is a bridge extended over hellfire. Extended over hellfire. It starts in the changed land. You know, when we mentioned that this earth will be destroyed on the day for judgment, it will be replaced with a flat one like silver. And that will be the place for assembly for people after they are resurrected from their graves. From the changed earth or the changed land to paradise, that bridge is extended, and underneath it will be hellfire. And people come to cross that bridge. Everyone, even the prophets, the righteous Muslims, will be asked to cross that bridge. But the prophets, in a blink of an eye, will cross that bridge. The righteous Muslims will be flying over the Sirat, that bridge. We ask Allah to make us amongst those who fly over that bridge to paradise. And some believers will be crossing this bridge based on their deeds in this life. So the way they cross that bridge depends on their deeds in this life. And that's the meaning of the statement in the hadith, "Tajri bihim a'maluhum." They cross the bridge based on their deeds. So some of them will be like a fast wind, some of them will be flying, and some of them will be walking, and even some of them will be crawling on that bridge in order to cross it to reach paradise. And as they are crossing that bridge, it was mentioned that there are hooks from hellfire extended on the sides of the bridge or connected to the sides of the bridge will try to snatch them and throw them into hellfire. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the great companion, gave an analogy to show the danger of crossing that bridge, and how dangerous, how scary for one to cross that bridge. He described the bridge as if it's finer than a hair and sharper than a sword. Imagine you were to be asked to cross on something that is sharper than a sword and finer than a hair. It's very difficult. But that bridge is wide. It's not finer than a hair. But he is drawing an analogy between the danger of crossing that bridge and the danger of walking on a sword. So it's not easy. If one were to think about the bridge, how he is going to be asked to cross it, if he thinks about it and reflects upon the dangers of such a task, he might faint. It was mentioned that once an unbeliever met Imam Ahmad al-Rifa'i radiallahu anhu, you know, the great scholar and righteous Muslim. Imam al-Rifa'i radiallahu anhu was with his students walking in the street when that unbeliever approached him and said to him something that no one would accept usually. He said to him, "O Shaykh, tell me, are you better or the dog?" Imagine someone saying that to you. You cannot tolerate it. You would not accept of one saying such a thing to you. He said, "Tell me, O Shaykh, are you better or the dog?" He said to him, "If I cross the bridge safely on the day of judgment, then I'm definitely better." So that was the reaction for such a question. The thinking is where? In the hereafter. Didn't Imam Zayn al-Abidin once was praying in his house and his neighbor's house was set on fire. People started screaming, "Your house is burning, your house is burning." And he did not give any regard to the words. He continued praying. They were screaming, "Your house is burning, your house is burning," meaning about to get burnt. Then the fire stopped at his house. When he finished the prayer, they said to him, "We were calling you, telling you your house is about to get burnt, and you weren't giving any regard to us." Do you know what did he say to them? He said to them, "I was thinking of the fire of the hereafter." The fire of the hereafter, not the fire of this dunya. Many people, when those righteous Muslims who fear Allah Azza wa Jal, sometimes yani you see them crying because their hearts are there, not in this dunya. Not as many of us would be thinking about the worldly pleasures, how I'm going to make more money, how I'm going to build double story house, I'm going to do such and such, buy this car, and so on. Our hearts are attached to worldly matters, but those ones, their hearts were attached to the hereafter. One righteous Muslim saw a sheep getting roasted. Sheep, yeah, after they slaughtered the meat of a sheep, lamb, getting roasted. They started crying. When they were asked, "Why you are crying?" The response was, "I remembered the hereafter. If this sheep is dead and it's getting roasted, people in hellfire will be roasted while they are alive, not dead." Look where they think. Even when they see things like this, they ponder about the matters of the hereafter. That's why the hearts were alive. But many of us, their hearts are dead. Many of us, their hearts are dead. That's why you have to make sure, keep your heart alive. If your heart is dead, that means you're dead. Some said, the truly dead people are the ones with dead hearts, even if they are called alive. But they are dead, because their hearts are dead. We ask Allah to keep our hearts alive with God-fearingness. Because every heart that does not have God-fearingness in it, it's a destroyed one, it's a damaged one. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the basin. Now, some scholars said it is before crossing the bridge, and some said it's after crossing that bridge. The basin, it's a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the people of paradise to drink from before they enter paradise. After which, they feel no thirst. After they drink from it, they feel no thirst. So when they go to paradise, they will drink from the rivers of paradise that Allah named in the Quran, rivers from pure water. Pure. You know, even if you have the cleanest water here on earth, if you put it in a container or keep it in a place for a long time, what happens? It rots. It gives a bad smell. But that water is not like that. It's not rotted. It's a pure water. They drink from it. It was mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for His Prophet a river called Al-Kawthar in paradise. From Al-Kawthar as well, there are pipes pouring into that basin outside paradise. People drink from this basin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that it is extended for a distance of 1 month. The number of utensils on it, like cups and the like, by which people drink from that basin, are like the number of stars in the sky. They drink from that basin, after which they never feel any thirst. But when they get to paradise, they drink, they eat. Not because they are hungry or thirsty, rather out of enjoyment, just for enjoyment. They drink from rivers of pure water, rivers of honey, rivers of milk, and rivers of wine, but that wine in paradise, which is not the intoxicating one in this life that is stinky as well, it's different. It's called wine, but it's different. It's different. So they drink from them just out of enjoyment. Also, the Prophet told us about intercession, al-shafa'ah. The prophets would be granted the right to intercede for their people, the believers only. For the people, meaning the sinners, they will intercede for them. The martyrs will intercede. The angels will be granted this right to intercede as well. And the practicing scholars will intercede as well. Even the child that died under puberty will intercede for his Muslim parents if they remain patient. So all those types of people will be granted the intercession, plus the angels will intercede on the day of a judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith of al-shafa'a, intercession, said, I was given the option to choose from two things. Either to be granted the intercession on the day for judgment, by which some sinners who deserve to be tortured in hellfire will be forgiven and they will be admitted into paradise without prior torture. So that was the first option. So the Prophet can choose between the intercession or half of his nation will enter paradise without torture. The Prophet said, I chose the intercession. Then he said, the reason why he chose the intercession is because it covers more people. Then he said, do you think the righteous and pious believers are in need of intercession? They are not. Because they enter paradise by their deeds. They will not be tortured. So all the pious of this nation, all the righteous of this nation, will go to paradise without torture. Then what is left are the sinners of this nation. The sinners, the believers, but sinners. Because of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of these sinners will be forgiven on the day for judgment, and they will be admitted into paradise without torture. And the intercession of the Prophet will cover every single believer of this nation, but the concept will be different for each one of them, or the effect of it will be different for each one of them. He will intercede for the righteous Muslims to be in higher ranks in paradise. He will intercede for some sinners, from the major sinners who died without repentance, and they will not be forgiven. And for others who are predestined for torture and hellfire, they will be tortured, but before they finish the term they deserve, they will be sent out of hellfire and be admitted into paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted every prophet. That makes you cry. Allah granted every prophet a request to be fulfilled, supplication to be fulfilled. Each prophet was given one supplication that will definitely be fulfilled for him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every prophet rushed to make that supplication, but I kept mine for the hereafter as intercession for my nation. That's his love for us. That's his love for us. He kept it for the day for judgment. Look, he did not use it for himself. He did not use it for a worldly matters. He could have asked Allah that Allah would make him the richest person in the world. He could have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him any of these worldly matters. But he never thought about this. He said, I kept it as intercession for my people, for my nation on the day for judgment. And some people, wal'ayyazu billah, say, why do you commemorate the Prophet's birth? Even if we make salah on the Prophet every day, every time, we ask Allah to raise his rank, and even if we perform good deeds and we dedicate the rewards for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will remain short. Short in reimbursing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for us. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about paradise. Paradise is a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the believers to receive enjoyment therein. It's now created and it will remain without an end. Paradise does not perish. Hellfire does not perish. The enjoyment in paradise does not perish. It will remain. Enjoyment after enjoyment, enjoyment after enjoyment till no end. And there are types of enjoyments in paradise that even the angels in charge of paradise are unaware of. They don't know about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah ta'ala said, so it is a Qudsi hadith, I have prepared for the righteous believers types of enjoyments in paradise that a person has never seen and has never heard of and even has never imagined of. Just think about imagination. Okay, we haven't seen that enjoyment. We haven't heard of these types of enjoyment, but even never crossed our hearts. Even never imagined of. So how, for instance, to what extent your imaginations can lead you to think of types of enjoyments in paradise that are things beyond your imaginations, beyond your expectations, beyond. There are many, many, many types of enjoyments. So you think of, for instance, you might think to the extent, I wish I have a flying horse. There is a flying horse in paradise. You ride a flying horse, it will fly in paradise, will take you to different places. There is. So what do you expect? Muslims in paradise, now if you miss your brother, you want to visit your brother, what do you need to do? You will have a bit, let us say, even the slightest effort you might put to visit your Muslim brother, you will see a bit of hardship in it. So in such a weather, for instance, you need to get out of your house, get into your car, drive to your friend. Maybe you need to walk up the stairs. But you need to put some effort. So walking up the stairs, reaching his place, there is a bit of effort. You might get tired the slightest. But in paradise, it's different. You have like a bed where you sit, and not because you are tired. It's like a throne for you. Sarir, bed. You sit on it. It's like a couch where you are sitting on it. Then you have in your heart that feeling, that wish that you want to visit your friend in paradise. This bed will fly. The bed will fly to your brother. And you'll be facing each other. You are in your bed and he is on his bed. Then you talk to each other. Now you tell me like you haven't thought of such an enjoyment in paradise. Imagine you say, I wish I have a tree with fruits on it. Yeah, you have the best of fruits on best of trees. Not only that. Here you might need, even if you have a garden with best fruits on its trees, maybe you need to put something to climb just to get one fruit. In paradise, you don't need to. You feel that now you desire a fruit, the tree will lower to you. The tree will bend until the fruit will be in front of you. You pick that fruit, what happens? Another one will be created in its place. So it's always full, that tree. The trunk of the trees of paradise are made of gold. So just the scene of this paradise is very relaxing. Gives you serenity, tranquility just by looking. Also, when you see birds flying in paradise and you desire to eat birds, they come down to you fried in the way you want it. You eat, no rubbish in paradise. Then they will become live birds again and fly in paradise. In this life, when you eat and drink, sometimes you get worried about going to toilet. In paradise, there's no need. Because everything you eat or drink will come out of your body like sweat, but with musky smell, fragrance. So it's like you're putting perfume on. And of course, the musk of paradise is not like the musk in this life. So it comes out of your body as musky sweat. What do you expect more There are even types of enjoyments beyond one's imagination. Isn't it worth it to work for the hereafter? By getting a bit tired in this life? That's nothing. That's nothing. Now, if they tell you, go to that place now, drive your car, go to that place, they will give you $50,000. You drive. For $50,000, you drive 50K, 100K, 50,000. If they ask you to work, let us say, as security guard, for instance, they say, now we're going to give you $100 per hour. 100. Would you work 12 hours? Yes, give me 24 even. You need more. This doesn't happen every day. Look at this reward and look at the reward in the hereafter. That's why the righteous ones, their thoughts are there. Paradise, hellfire, the bridge, weighing of the deeds, assembly, resurrection. They always think about these matters. That's why their hearts are soft and alive. Not as many in this nation now whose hearts are dead. Dead. The biggest enjoyment in paradise for the believers is that Allah will enable them to see Allah Azza wa Jal without Allah being in a place or direction, without a distance between them and Allah, and without Allah having a shape or a form. Allah enables them to see Him, and while the believers are in paradise, they see Allah Azza wa Jal. Some of them once a week, some of them more. It depends. And that will be the biggest endowment from Allah upon the people of paradise. The biggest, the greatest endowment, they will see Allah Azza wa Jal. But without Allah being in a place or direction, and without Allah having a form or a shape, because Allah does not resemble the creation. As Allah sees us now, and He is without a place and without a direction, without having a shape or a form, on the day for judgment, Allah will enable the believers, while they are in paradise, to see Allah without Allah having a shape or a form, and without Allah being in a place or direction. The scholars stated this matter clearly, like Imam Abu Hanifa radiyallahu anhu and others. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا, for those who have performed righteous deeds in this life, the recompensation for them is what? الْحُسْنَى. What is الْحُسْنَى? Paradise. Waziyada, something on top. What is that thing on top? The scholar said, it's the endowment of seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the endowment. Aren't you excited to be in paradise? Isn't it worth it to work hard for paradise? Yes. One person came to a righteous scholar and said to him, tell me something about paradise that will make me more motivated towards working for paradise, to make me long for paradise. Tell me something about paradise, something that is enough a motive for me to work for paradise. What did he say to him? He said one sentence. In it, there is Muhammad Rasulullah. That's it. Wouldn't that make you enough motivated to work for paradise? Where you see the Prophet? Where you meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's enough. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about hellfire. Hellfire is an abode of torture. The non-believers will dwell in hellfire forever. They will never be sent out of it. See, when we talked about the bridge, crossing that bridge, the non-believers will not manage to cross that bridge. As they are asked to cross that bridge, they will fall into hellfire. And they will never be sent out of it. The torture of hellfire is everlasting. The non-believers will dwell in hellfire forever, as Allah said in the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. The non-believers will dwell in hellfire forever. They will find no supporter, no aid from anyone. They will be in hellfire forever. They ask the angel in charge of hellfire, Malik. That's the angel in charge of hellfire. They say to him, ask your Lord when we are going to be sent out of hell. He goes and comes back after 1,000 years. And they are waiting. 1,000 years waiting. Just to give him an answer. And the answer will be, you are staying here. You are staying here after 1,000 years. You are staying here. That's the wait. That's the wait. When they are tortured, no rest, torture day and night. Because in hellfire, it's pitch black. There's no like, you know, here a day where you have light and then you have night. It's pitch black. That's the torture. Dark all the time. And they are getting tortured. Imagine amidst that torture, they are waiting for 1,000 years to get the answer that you are staying here. Allah Ta'ala said, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. They ask him, when we get out of hell after 1,000 years, he tells them, you are staying here. It's by consensus that hellfire will never perish. In contrary to what Ibn Taymiyyah claimed, that hellfire will perish, wal'ayyazu billah. That's against the Quran. A scholar at his time called Taqiyyuddin As-Subki, at his time, wrote a book. He called his book Al-i'tibar bi baqa'i al-jannati wan-nar. Al-i'tibar bi baqa'i al-jannati wan-nar. It's like the proof that paradise and hellfire will never perish. And he refuted the claim of Ibn Taymiyyah in his book that hellfire will perish, wal-'ayyazu billah. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the belief in Allah's angels, that they are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are honorable slaves of Allah azza wa jal. They never disobey the orders of Allah azza wa jal. They always fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them. They are not males nor females. They do not reproduce. They are not males nor females. They do not reproduce. They do not eat. They do not drink. And they do not sleep. Their time is filled with obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal guided them. Although they have a will, but they choose only to do the right thing. They obey Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that at a distance of four fingers in the skies, in each sky, every distance of approximately four fingers, you see an angel praying to Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you were to be able to see the sky and what is in it, as the Prophet said, you will see the angels praying, some in the standing position, some in the ruku'ah, some in the sujood. As when you go to the mosque and you see people praying, you see one is in the standing position, one in the ruku'ah, one in the sujood, you see all that. That's what you see in the skies, filled, packed with angels. The skies are crowded with angels. That's why it doesn't befit Allah Azza wa Jal to be in the sky, as some people may claim falsely, because Allah will be crowded by the angels. Walayyazu billah. Allah created the skies for the angels, and the skies are filled with angels. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that the skies cried out, screamed, and they have the right to do so. Screaming out of what? The Prophet said, at a distance of approximately 4 fingers, there is an angel who is praying to Allah Azza wa Jal. The skies are filled with angels. Also, to believe in the prophets and messengers of Allah. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. If a prophet receives a new set of rules different from the ones revealed to the previous messenger, then they say he is a prophet and messenger. If he is ordered to follow the rules revealed to the previous messenger and to convey these rules, then he is a prophet but not a messenger. Also, we must believe in the revealed books. There are 104, but the famous four are Al-Quran, Torah, Injil, and Zabur. Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Torah was revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Moses. Injil was revealed to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And Az-Zabur was revealed to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Also, one must believe in Al-Qadr. That is, everything that happens in this universe is predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether good or evil. As the Prophet said, وَأَن تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرْ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. You must believe in Al-Qadr, that both good and evil are decreed and predestined by Allah Azza wa Jal. Who created Iblis, Satan? Allah. Allah created Iblis and Satan. He is the head of evil. So Allah created good and evil. But Allah ordered us to do only the good and warned us against committing what is evil. But Allah created everything. Both good and evil are created by Allah, predestined by Allah Azza wa Jal. But we are ordered to do only what is good and to avoid what is evil. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that he is the best out of all the children of Adam, and that he is the last prophet and messenger. There will not come a prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, we all know that Prophet Isa alayhi salam will descend to earth before the day for judgment, but he's not a new prophet. He was born before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by about 600 years. He lived on earth for about 30 years, after which he was raised to the sky, alive and awake. Before the day for judgment, he will descend to earth. So he's not a new prophet. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet and messenger, and no prophet will come after him. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to assemble us under the banner of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to grant us paradise without prior torture. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah and make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.